Aviation Quest to Sea 101, wind 270 degrees, 10 knots, runway 27 left, cleared for takeoff.
Aviation Quest CC 101, cleared for takeoff, 27 left. V1, rotate. Positive climb.
Aviation Quest CC, stories from above. The views shared in this podcast are personal and for informational purposes only. They do not reflect any employer or aviation authority, and nothing discussed here should be considered flight training or regulatory guidance. Please always refer to official sources. This episode may also contain product placements. For further information, visit our website aviation-quest.cc.
Well, dear listeners, this is Jürgen Reiss. I'm one of your hosts here at Aviation Quest CC. This is already podcast number 31. And as always, I'm not alone here in the podcast cockpit. Yeah, so to say, in the left seat or whatever. The main host or the professional pilot today is Stefan. Hello.
Hey, Jürgen. How are you? All good?
All good, all good. And Stefan, you are also, yeah, I mean, you are sort of kind of a main host, because without you, we would not have a podcast on YouTube, which is a little bit unusual. But even so, we are an audio podcast. We got a YouTube channel that's Aviation-Quest Podcast. And there are some really nice background movies going on, caused by your FS clips, YouTube skills, and I think also for this podcast, you came up with a nice real-world flight.
Yeah, well, today is a special episode, so I had to do something special, right, Jürgen? So today, we are doing a real-world flight, but I decided to mix it up a bit. So we are flying with Lufthansa from Frankfurt to Munich. This flight is usually operated by an A320, but we are doing it today with an Airbus A340-600.
I was already thinking you are doing it with a Cessna to have a three-hour podcast with Mina.
No, that would be really bad. I don't think anyone would want to see me struggling with a Cessna.
And also you're putting me on the spot here. Yeah, we spoke about this podcast before, and yeah, I made a little bit of competition preparation, I told you before. No, I'm well prepared and also slept well, but Stefan put me to the spot today. It's about all that Stefan want to hear is, what was this? People want to hear your story, Jürgen. I'm not sure about this, but it's, you know, you can write, you can comment on the YouTube channel or write on LinkedIn. By the way, LinkedIn, this is my profile, so my real name, Jürgen Reiss, became more or less the communication center of our podcast. So there are also today already two pilots wrote back, so two new guests are on the horizon. So if you want to be interviewed here, so like me today, you know, to get yourself in an uncomfortable position or whatever, just write on LinkedIn. And yeah, as I said, LinkedIn is more and more the... Yeah, I think it's the center of communication here.
Yeah, it's weird how that has turned out. Huh? But yeah, if that's how people want to get in touch, then why not? So yes, like Jürgen said, you know, we've talked a lot about myself, about my career, about my flying, but we've never ever talked about Jürgen. And Jürgen, in my opinion, your career is way more interesting than mine. You've achieved things that I think deserve a huge amount of respect. I've always thought what you've achieved in your life is very remarkable. And so I really wanted to dig down a bit, because, you know what it's like. We kept in touch, but there was never really, because we lived in different countries, and there was never a close relationship during that time. And I never really got to go with you through all the details of how it all happened, how you got where you are today, and all that stuff. So today I want to ask you lots of questions about your life and your career, if that's okay with you.
It was funny. Sorry that I came to you. Just my mind was wandering. Throughout my World Cup years, I think I was still competing. I'm not sure if I was in the World Cup or if it was shortly afterwards, but you dropped into my Facebook account, which is, by the way, no longer active, but you dropped into my Facebook account asking, is this really you, Jürgen? I think you were doubting that there is another. Yeah. Yes, I changed a little bit since we last met after high school. Middle school.
Middle school, yes. Well, let's go back to that time because I'm really interested in this. So for those of you who don't know, Jürgen and I, we know each other because we went to middle school together. So we were little boys, pre-teenage boys, going to school together. We had a nice relationship. I remember spending a lot of time, you know, during break hours laughing with you. I remember when we had the ski trip with the school, we had a lot of fun together. But the one thing I do not remember is you being a very sporty person. I think I'm allowed to say that. So the first question really is, how did this happen? How did you develop this skill, and when did this happen, and how did you discover all this passion? And I guess initially it was just a hobby for you, the sport, and how and when did all this become your profession, your career, and you ended up in one of the best in the world? So tell me through this process from this little boy who, in my memory, did not have much interest in sport to one of the best in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I went to another school and afterwards started apprenticeship as a clerk, an office assistant, and obviously was sitting a lot. And a neighbor friend here said, I don't know, he was in the same position like me, literally, also office job. Why don't we train? And we went to the fitness parkour here nearby, and don't know, we liked it. And he said, yeah, we could do this daily. And I said, yeah, we could. And already, I don't know, I think I forgot about it. The next day, he suddenly showed up and said, hey, do you remember? I said, daily. And I said, oh, yeah? Okay. And from this day on, we really almost daily, I mean, there were some, certainly, life is life. There were some exceptions, but we almost daily trained, I think, for almost 3 years, if I get this right, into the fitness, in this fitness track. By the way, we pre-recorded one of our intros. I just don't know which one it was there in this wood. And in this fitness track, I really made, I don't know, I think over the years, thousands of push-ups and pull-ups, obviously, and laddering and stuff like this. And this became a little bit, so to say, the foundation of what was happening later. Because after the apprenticeship, by the way, I was already a glider pilot there. Sorry for mixing topics there. But there was a new employee, and I call him today my climbing mentor. And he was one of the best climbers in our region and also competed. And there somehow, I don't know, he became my climbing god. And one day he took me there up to a rock. And yeah, I just loved it. I loved it. I was struggling hard at the beginning, but from the very beginning on, I was in a group of really, really competitive, ambitious. I was in a group, in a climbing group of the best here in my region. And I think it was only 7 months later I won my first regional championship, and this was was quite amazing. I also shocked some people here, you know, climbing for years. But certainly this was also due to the fitness track stuff we did the years before. There was, so to say, my fitness foundation. And yeah, then it got really, somehow it took off quick. Half a year later, I've seen, we were with the Alpine Club here in Arco. It's a, so to say, a climbing paradise in Trentino. Many listeners, so to say, that are in the climbing scene know it. and there was the Rockmaster going on. So this was, you think it is still, maybe it's a World Cup now. I lost a little bit track with the competitive scene today. But back then it was like Wimbledon in tennis. It was a little bit comparable. So it was like this one time, 1 year, big prize money. And I watched this competition and suddenly was, I want to be there. Someday I want to climb on this wall. I want to climb on this. Somewhere I want to climb on this wall. Yeah, and when I came back, it was somehow, I made a crazy decision. I said, I go full in. I want to see how far I can come in this sport. And I went for professionalism. it certainly there is the problem that climbing is not tennis, so there's no money. Certainly I had to work and I came up with projects. So I founded an IT company, and this was, so to say, my, beside the climbing stuff, and also made other projects later on. But yeah, from there, my climbing career to stay on this thing started. And the highlight was in 2002. It was 10th place on the World Cup in Singapore. And later on, I mean, all the results can be found, by the way, at Digital Rock. They still have, so to say, a good old homepage where listeners can find this. I think it's 4 or 5 pages of, I don't know. I marked out some other highlights. Oh, yeah, there it was. Another highlight was Marbella. I went to the 15th place in the World Cup. It was in 2006. And 9th place in Serge Chevalier was also a great thing. Yeah, and in the last years, I even returned to the Arco Wall, even though it was the Masters. It was a little bit another competition format than before. It was, so to say, I was in a Masters before the main event. But at least I made it back. I made my dream come true in the very end of my career to get back to this Arco Wall, even though it was more or less symbolic, but because the highlights of my career were back in the World Cup. But yes, I mean, I climbed World Cups, I climbed World Championships, I climbed European Championships, and I was a person Stefan didn't recognize anymore at Facebook.
Well, you looked very different. Your physique had changed a lot. So
A little bit.
So let me...
Since high school, when I look at these photographs, you might be right.
Yes. So... I mean, let me take you back to the beginning again. Your journey from, this club, your local club, to the World Cup. Was it something that came very easy? Was there a lot of, were there times where your performance maybe went down or plateaued? Was there a lot of difficulty to overcome, or were you just a born climber?
Yeah, maybe I was a born climber, but I underestimated especially the mental thing. I mean, I wrote 7 books, by the way, and my 7th book was a mental training book, and I went there into more detail about this time after winning my first regional or local championship here. There was a series of competitions I messed up, and I messed up more and more and more. So it was getting worse. And yeah, I mean, the environment on a competition, Stefan, it's highly structured, highly demanding, and really unforgiving. You perform or you don't. There's no interpretation or something. And I really had to learn to deal with high pressure situations. And a lot of help was, my father, my main mentor in life, so to say, had the idea in 1997. He was at the seminar of this man or something like this, but he said there is a psychologist working with sports people. He said somebody with tennis or something, but go to him, and he might help you out. And it was quite a drive from here, but this man by the name of Dr. Martin Nicolussi, he seemed to me really a grounded person, and talked in a calm and normal way and asked me, I mean, the first session was anyway just without any obligations. I'm free, and just offered me, yeah, he can teach me autogenic training and work on other mental trainings, techniques that might help me. But yeah, it's my decision. I should sleep over it. But yeah, he made me this offer that he would help me. And yeah, for me, it was a no-brainer. I came back to him, and after a few months, my whole mental game was, I was a complete another competitor. I was first on the nationals, really strong. I started winning national cups, and this was certainly also, you know, you have to qualify for the World Cup. You cannot just go to the World Cup and say, I'm a climber. I'm a natural born climber. Doesn't work this way. I mean, there was also back then a ranking list, and this is it's like in other sports. I mean, climbing, even though it was not as professional or not as advanced as it is now, Austria was always a little bit the leading, at least it's the way I looked at it, was always somehow a role model country, how they organized the whole system and also how they sent people to the international competitions. But yeah, sooner or later it happened, and my list began. Where was it? Milano was my very first World Cup. This was in 1998. Stefan makes me wandering back in memory lane today. Yeah. It's a beautiful podcast. I like it. The second was Wiener Neustadt. Yeah. Then was Leipzig. Yeah, I remember. And from there, it was, as I said, at the end of the, 1998, 1999, and then it went up. And certainly on the World Cup was for me again. First, it was a mess. There, 59th in Milan, 28th was a highlight in Wiener Neustadt, and then it was again mess, and a lot of work. And I returned to Martin Nicolussi, and we made, so to say, there also follow-up coachings. And it was always for me a combination of getting physically stronger, but also get mentally stronger, because it is, as I said, it's a really unforgiving thing. You have one day, you have one route, the qualification route, which is already pretty hard, especially in an international competition. You mess up, you go home. No matter if you flew to Singapore, nobody cares.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. Yeah, that's the tough side of sports, that, you know, people remember the good sportsman but forget that there were hundreds of others competing that probably worked just as hard and just couldn't perform on that particular day. So you obviously worked a lot on your mental fitness, and that, from what you tell me, made a huge difference. But what about the other things? Like, when you compete at this level, do you have a team of people around you helping you with all parts of your life, like your, I don't know, your food intake, your diet, or is that something you just worked out yourself? Or did you have like a team of people supporting you?
No, I was in a lucky position that I had really a team of professional people around me, even though I was not, so to say, a full-time, but I had a really good network. And there was, especially in the highlights of my World Cup year, so this was not a coincidence. This was also when my first book was created. So there was really, in my very first book, unfortunately, those books are only German, but for the German listeners, in the very first book, there is, so to say, my core team from back then. So the trainer, nutritionist, and also my NLP trainer. This was, so to say, for me, then the next level of mental training. And I mean, to already bridge here a little bit to, is this an aviation podcast or what? Yes, I mean, what I learned with the mental coaching is that mental strength is a skill that you can transfer into almost any high performance environment. So I was also flying in those years, and yes, it helps. I was also, I had tests, I had, especially I had, sometimes negotiation with clients, and also they put me to the test, and it was, yeah, there was stress going on in life. It's life. And you have to be mental strong also in life, and this helps. I think, Stefan, as a pilot, you already know a little bit what I'm speaking. It's, yeah, mental strength helps in every compartment of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about this a lot, how your mental state on the day of a difficult exam, of a selection, of a sim check, whatever it may be, actually plays a massive role on how, you know, how the day will go. Before I let you go further into the aviation bit, one last thing. So when and how did you decide to stop climbing? Was it your decision, or was it just an age thing? Or tell me about the end of your career. And was it something that was very difficult for you to step away from it? Or were you at the point where you said, I've done it all, I'm quite happy to let it go?
As I said, in the very last years, I had really nice experiences also traveling with my daddy, sometimes the whole family, because this was inside Europe, to masters. I was allowed to compete. And so they were outside the World Cup, but still they said, hey, Jürgen, you are allowed to go, you can go. You know, the Austrian Federation. And yeah, I also enjoyed Austria Cups, but also there it became harder and harder for me to get into the finals. And I was way, way, so to say, too old. I was competing. It was ridiculous. I was competing against 18-year-olds. And I also, I had really sometimes, it was such great people on the competition. You know, they were, I was, so to say, how should I say, a senior star. You know, they were applauding like crazy because there were this 18 and 20 year old, and suddenly there is a 38, 39, and in the last year a 40 year old. I mean, this was, anybody corrected me in this, but I was the only 40 year old that was ever in Austria competing in the real adults class of an Austrian championship. Maybe things have changed, but back then I never had another statistics. And yeah, in the very last year when I was 40, I climbed again into our finals here in my local ball in Dornbirn. It was a great experience. After that, there was an Austrian championships in Innsbruck where I messed up. I say it straight way forward, even though I was in good shape, everything was right. But I just felt that the body was too old. I mean, climbing is, I simplify here things a little bit from the sports scientific background, but climbing is not marathon. Climbing is, depends on maximum strengths, boulder strengths, and there is a natural age limit. You can, I mean, nowadays maybe also you cannot do a marathon until, I have no clue of marathon, but it's not an endurance sport. So it became, also in the last years, the sport changed. It became more and more toward maximum and power and, you know, explosive strengths. So all the things you have biologically a harder and harder job. So you can imagine, it was, the sports was getting harder and my body was getting older. Yeah, and I mean, this beautiful weekend in my daddy, my family was there. And I said, yeah, I think, it's okay. I have to correct. I wanted to have one more winter and competed again. But when I was starting the preparation afterwards, it was also, I felt it was over and I followed my heart. Yeah. But certainly it was hard. But it was, yeah, also somehow a transition in some other. I started calisthenics and own bodyweight training. This is, by the way, still the way I train now. I mean, today I also spent almost 2 hours in the gymnastic hall, and the youngsters were wondering what I was preparing there and learning. I had a couple of English papers around me, and maybe they are the papers, they are not in front of the on the desk. Yeah, I was a little bit in the podcast world today with this afternoon, but as you see, it's sometimes also a combination, and you have to have also, I think sometimes the respect to say, it's okay, sport, you gave me enough, and it's now another life starts. But as I said, I had a lot of fun afterwards with a couple of other projects, and my most ambitious project is in the moment this podcast. And yeah, today I was really, I already was making notes of what I write this evening into my ongoing mental coaching syllabus for aviation professional, wherever this project leads me to. But it's, yeah, in the moment, this podcast and what's building up around it is, so to say, also almost a competitive sport. No, it's fun. But yeah, what was your question, by the way?
No, you answered it perfectly. So before we go to today, so you leave the sport and you decide to make your own podcast, which, again, for those who don't know, became the largest German-speaking podcast in its field. How did that come about? Was that just an idea you had, or did somebody ask you? And can you tell us a little bit about that podcast and how it became so big?
No, this was a friend working on an Austrian newspaper. I don't know if he is still there, but he was asking me about a couple of questions about my book and how he should train, and I gave him some advice. I mean, I don't know. We had this before. I'm not really a businessman. I gave him some advice, and he suddenly wrote back, "Hey, I work at the newspaper. I could, you know, if I have some ideas here, and we could network." And he suddenly sent me back then something that was completely new for me. A link to a podcast, of an American podcast. And I think it was in 2007. I was injured anyway, and I went to, I think, in your region. I spent a week on a nice island somewhere in the sun. Or was it, I think it was Lanzarote, I'm not sure. But there I was listening to those American podcasts, and I was just thinking, this doesn't sound like radio. This sounds live on tape, and even the quality was back then. I mean, 2007, you can imagine, Stefan, this was just telephone recordings, more or less. And I came home and said, we could do this. And we were both, it was his idea, and I joined in, and was, yeah, and the result was PowerQuest to see, and also was, I was absolutely driven. I mean, one thing, I am a full in personality. I think also Stefan already got his share. Hope I'm not too much of a burden for you sometimes. But if I start a project, for me, it's just none or nothing. And in a moment, also Aviation Quest C is for me, yeah, I'm working a lot of it on it, and also the mental side of the aviation world. I had this before. Is for me, it's a whole new world. I wanna have a positive influence, let's say it like this. I see that I have skills where I can help people, already help people throughout the last, especially throughout the last weeks. I had some really, really great experienced, just this beginning of the week was a highlight. I was coaching an experienced pilot with a strong airline background. The feedback the next day was really great. It was over 1.5 hours on the telephone. And yeah, I mean, back to your question, podcasting became a passion then, and also certainly it helped somehow. Podcasting is great for developing communication, also coaching skills, and also networking. So everybody who wants to come up with a podcast, I absolutely wouldn't do it for the money. It is, it's, it, it, don't know. I never did it for the money. But it's such a great networking and also testing your own mental strengths and your own life on tape communication strengths. I think there is no better way for real life communication training under a high pressure situation, whatever this is. I don't feel in the moment like under high pressure situation, but it's always what you make of it. But by the end of the day, it is life on tape. I mean, if I mess up, I mess up. But this is podcasting. But I had really so much fun and so much guests. And yeah, sooner or later, also this project, I don't know how many podcasts, I don't know, it was almost 800. And I also, yeah, I'm still a host of another project, of a German project, of a German podcast. Yeah, podcasting certainly became a passion.
Very cool. And you started way before, I mean, it seems to me, these days, everybody has a podcast. Everybody who
wants late 2007. Yeah, this was still the experimental phase, especially here in Europe.
Yeah, way ahead of the curve. So that's great. That's great to hear. Well, then let's bring you to today. So obviously, you are part of this podcast, which makes me very happy. You have decided to talk about aviation instead of sports. So I guess we all know, people that are here on a regular basis, that aviation is obviously a big passion of yours. Do you think you're just going to replace aviation completely with your sporting background? Or do you think there's still space for some sporting podcasts, sporting projects? Or are you just all in now on aviation?
I would answer this question now really podcast specific for Aviation Quest to see. I mean, the physical side for me, for my person, matters a lot. But if I speak to the aviators here today, maybe also interested in me as a coach, I see it today more as a support layer for mental performance. So my goal is really to focus on mental coaching for aviation. So this is, so to say, I will always train daily, and I can highly recommend also all the pilots out there to stay physically active. Also you do, Stefan. I mean, this is, so to say, sorry for repeating myself, but I see this as a support layer, but an essential support layer for optimal mental performance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds good.
By the way, I wrote about it also in the, I just mentioned before, this mental coaching syllabus for aviation professionals. So short freebies of it in LinkedIn format are combined with a nice picture on LinkedIn. And there are already articles that are pointing out what I just said. And all, yeah, I think there are a couple of articles that are worth a read after today's podcast. And one of them is also the, so to say, strong body, or at least fit body, fit mind. This, I think this was the article of last week. We record this, by the way, on Friday, May 15th. So you can make your calculation. Every Thursday afternoon is a LinkedIn question, a LinkedIn article. Sorry if I'm a little bit a bouncing ball today when it comes to answering your question. I hope, please, you are the pilot. You keep me on track.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We went chronologically. That's the most important thing. So, yes. So, obviously, you did your podcast, your sports podcast. Now, we are doing this podcast together, which, is mostly about aviation. But like you already said several times, you've decided to also become a mental coach. So just in case people are wondering, what kind of people can contact you? Is there anything specific? Like, would you prefer to prepare them for an exam or for a sim check or for a job interview? Or is it basically wide open to anyone who thinks they could benefit from any kind of mental help, so to say?
Mental health is a thing I would say is for a psychologist.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm a mental coach. I'm only working with mental healthy person who want to get an optimum from what's already in them. And to correct you here a little bit, I not became lately a mental coach. I am coaching, especially in the mental field. I started with this since 2003. And that gradually expanded into physical training. I also did climbing coaching and sports nutrition coaching. But the mental work, so the mental coaching, always reminded the core element underneath all of it. I think this sums it up. And I mean, what was a trigger point, so to say, a trigger that led to this mental coaching syllabus was a conversation with you, Stefan. I don't know if you even remember, but it was in late 2024. And I had a conversation with you how a mental coach could help pilots. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember, yes.
Okay, and afterwards, I came up with a huge mind map, and I don't think I have sent it to you because it was in crazy handwriting. But I made a photo, so I still have it here. I still have it here. And I was in the preparation of this podcast, I was suddenly, did I keep this up? And yes, I found it. It was here in one of my folder. It was, so to say, also in my basic, in the first files that were created for this podcast project. And this, I mean, it became clearer and clearer for me month by month that I want to have really a positive impact as a mental coach, because this is where I can be of much of the most value for professional aviators. And yeah, I think it was in February I started really, really more and more intensely working on this mental coaching syllabus, which is, so to say, my own operational manual for my coachings. And yeah, in the last weeks, I said it before, it's for me all or nothing. I was working on it twice a day normally, so one session in the morning, another in the evening, and it has grown to over 150 pages, and there is a lot of, a lot of deep dives, and I'm really, as you can imagine, Stefan, I'm well set up for a lot of coaching scenarios.
Good.
Already.
Good stuff. Right. Well, we've already reached, we've actually gone a bit further than we usually do with the 30 minutes.
So you mean it's getting boring, you're right?
No. But I think we've given everyone a bit of an idea of what your background is, what you did, what you're doing. And I think we can all agree you've had a remarkable life. Very impressive. I've always been very impressed and very humbled by what you've achieved, you know, from the two little boys that were sitting in the schoolyard laughing about nonsense.
I remember this sunny afternoon, Stefan, sorry for interrupting you, but we were sitting, I think, was this soccer? I think the English is it soccer? Yes, the class were playing soccer because the two of us were sitting nearby, and somehow weren't we the goalkeepers, or one of us were the goalkeepers, and suddenly the ball was rolling in the speed of, I don't know, it was just that it was rolling to the into the goal, and it was quite embarrassing. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
We were both laughing, and once again the sports teacher just shook his head and yeah. This is the
we did everything apart from sports.
Welcome.
Well, it was fun. I had a great time. Anyway, Jürgen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your sort of life story with us. And yeah, if like Jürgen said, if you want to benefit from his experience, if you feel that he could be of help, just contact him. Jürgen is not. I'm sure he doesn't mind me saying he's like a businessman in any sense. He usually will talk to you for an hour or so completely for free just to figure out what's going on. You know, so.
This is true. Yes. So this is really true. Yeah. And the most convenient way is LinkedIn. So there is even my CV. So my LinkedIn profile, I put some work in it. I think it's really, yeah, there is some quality going on. And also, as I said, there's even there are two PDF uploads, a shorter and a more structured, or a more, I think the larger CV got even 4 pages. And certainly the contact to me is also straightforward. There's a coaching menu button on our Aviation Quest CC homepage. And there you can also find at the very end, there's even my telephone number and the email address. And yes, the first contact and setup call where we can discuss your goals and how coaching might help you. I keep it like back then with Dr. Martin Nicolussi. This is what I took from him. It's completely free and without any obligation. And yeah, we spend as much time on the phone as we need, until you can decide, or yeah, you have to decide nothing. I leave you, as I said, I make this a little bit like Martin Nicolussi, my back then first mental coach, also as my strategy, so to say, non-sales strategy. There is no selling. You can come back after sleeping on it, and if you don't, I'm absolutely not mad at you. So there is no obligation, nothing whatsoever. No bad feeling afterwards if you say no, but no thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Very good, Jürgen. Well, again, thank you for your time, and just keep on the line. We'll talk a little bit more about the podcast. Yeah, like I said, thank you for sharing this with us. It was super interesting. I learned a lot today. Again, more details about your life, which I think is super interesting. And to everyone else, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being with us today. And as always, we look forward to having you back in the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to Aviation Quest CC, Stories from Above. For more information about this episode and everything we do, visit our homepage, aviation-quest.cc. We appreciate your time and support, and we'd love to have you back for the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay curious, and keep your passion for aviation flying high.